Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 7. The last perek was the first nevuah of Yeshayahu, where he accepted his mission as a Navi after Uzziahu offered Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash, which began the nation's steep decline. This perek is related to events from the life of Uzziahu's grandson, Achaz. Achaz became king at age of 20. While both his father Yosam and grandfather Uzziahu were tzaddikim, he introduced the idol Baal to Yehuda and even sacrificed his son to Molech, the god that required live human sacrifice. There was a sharp decline in the stability of the nation during his reign. Uzziahu, the grandfather, subdued neighboring kingdoms and invested instead in the building up of the economy, religious life, and national defenses. Uzziahu got along with the kingdom of Israel. Now with Achaz, this dynamic has changed. The northern kingdom, ruled by Pekach ben Remaliahu, wanted to control the south. In the first year of Achaz's reign, Pekach attacked and killed 120,000 men, as we mentioned in Perek Daled. Ritzin, king of Aram, located in modern-day Syria, led his own conquest and captured many men from Yehuda. Aram and Yisrael decided to become allies despite many years of conflict, so they could capture Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Parallel to these events, the nation of Ashur, Assyria, is growing more dominant in the region and would become a major world power in the coming decades. The ruler of Ashur at this time was Tiglath-Pileser. Achaz wanted to become a vassal of Ashur to help save his kingdom from Aram and Israel. Pekach and Ritzin will wage war in Yerushalayim, but Pasuk Aleph informs us, "V'lo yachol lihilachem aleha," they will not be able to fight against it. The plans of Achaz to submit himself to Ashur are unnecessary and to his detriment. Pasuk 2 begins describing the episode in more detail. Vayugad leves David. It was told to the house of David that Aram and Ephraim were coming to attack. The pasuk doesn't mention Achaz by name because he was a rasha, an evil person, and any salvation is only in the merit of his ancestors. The people and the king were terrified as they had already lost many lives to both of these individual kingdoms. Now when they combine forces, the people and king panic. Kenoa atzayar mipnei ruach. As the trees of the forest are moved with the winds, trees move with lots of noise because nothing protects them against the winds. The people were panicking because they have no protection. The ancestors of Achaz would have consulted with a Navi at this point, but Achaz was wicked and doesn't think about spirituality. Hashem tells Yeshayahu to go to Achaz with Yeshayahu's son, whose name is Sharyashav. The name Sharyashav is symbolic and means the remnant will return. This name symbolizes that although Yehuda will go into Gullus, they will return, unlike the 10 tribes who will be exiled until the time of Mashiach. Yeshayahu goes to meet Achaz in an area where they collected rainwater and was close to where people did laundry. Rashi says that when Achaz saw Yeshayahu coming, he put a pail on his head to hide. This show of humility redeemed Achaz to a small degree and gave him a portion in the world to come, despite his bad behavior elsewhere. Yeshayahu begins by trying to encourage Achaz. Pasuk 4, Hishamer v'hashket al tira. Watch out! Keep calm! Be quiet! Do not fear! Yeshayahu warns Achaz not to start up with Aram and the Israel in battle, and to calm down so that he doesn't panic and make decisions from a place of fear rather than from a place of reason. Yeshayahu explains what is about to happen. Aram and Yisrael are like Zanvos ha'udim ha'ashenim, two tails of smoking firebrands. They're like a piece of wood that when lit, it burns brightly initially, but goes out quickly and produces a lot of smoke. It makes a dramatic display, but really cannot do much harm to anyone else. Malchus Yisrael, called degradingly Ben Remaliyahu in the Pasuk, imagines he is powerful enough to conquer Yerushalayim. He thinks that the war depends on his own strength, and he ignores Hashem in his calculations. Aram and Yisrael plan to conquer Yerushalayim, and then, Binamlich Melech Besocha, as Ben Tav'al, install a king in its midst of it, son of Tav'al. They plan to seat a ruler, who would be Tov, good in the eyes of the people, to create a puppet government that would depose Achaz and would side in all political matters with the northern kingdom. Pasuk 7, Hashem Elokim, the Hashem of justice and mercy, promises, Lo sakum v'lo siyeh. It won't stand and it won't be. It's not going to happen. The Me'am Lois relates from Seder Olam that Achaz heard Yeshayahu's positive nevuos, but did not believe him. Instead, he took all the money from the treasury for the Beis HaMikdash and sent it to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Ashur, as a bribe so that Ashur would attack Aram. This rash move made Yehuda a vassal state to Ashur and did not protect Yehuda in the long term. Indeed, Tiglath-Pileser attacks Aram and Israel before Ashur then turns on Yehuda. This was an unnecessary overreaction because Damascus, ruled by Ritzin, is known to be evil and will not be able to conquer Yerushalayim either. In addition, Pasuk 8, Uva'od Shishim V'chameh Shana, Yechas Ephraim Me'am. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, it won't be a people. It had already been declared in the times of Amos, over 40 years ago, that Yisrael would be destroyed in 65 years. Yisrael had not done tshuva, so that punishment was still in place. This was a well-known nevuah, so Yeshayahu reminded Achaz of it to reassure him. Yeshayahu cannot help Achaz as Im lo sa'aminu, ki lo se'amenu. If you do not believe it, it's because you lack faith. Faith is not something that can be created by others. Achaz and Yehuda will need to find the faith within themselves to merit full salvation. It was easier for them to give all the money and control over to Tiglath-Pileser than to trust Hashem and his Navi. Rav Schwab says that this reaction is typical of people in a crisis. Often, people would rather panic and try far-fetched and sometimes dangerous interventions rather than to live life full of emunah, trust in Hashem. When people decide to truly believe in Hashem, it requires many lifestyle changes. People would rather live in fear and doubt and try to exert control than have emunah. Yeshayahu wants Achaz to have emunah. He asks in Pasuk 11, Sha'al lecha os meyam Hashem lokecha. Ask for yourself. Ask a sign from Hashem your God. Yeshayahu wants Achaz to ask for some kind of proof to show that his nevuah is true and can be relied on. He can ask for Hamek Sha'ala o Hagbeya Lema'la. Ask it either in depth or in the height above to ask for any sign in heaven and earth so that you will believe. Achaz replies, Pasuk 12, Lo eshal, v'lo anaseh Hashem. I will not ask, nor will I test Hashem. This could seem to be very holy, that Achaz doesn't need any signs. Rav Schwab says that this was actually a sign of arrogance, as Achaz did not want to be convinced. Achaz won't ask for a sign to calm himself, nor will he ask for signs so that others would be calm, as he does not want others to believe, which would make a Kiddush Hashem. This would undermine his leadership approach and impact his service of idols. Yeshayahu responds that he knows that Achaz doesn't believe in Nevi'im and has the nerve to talk with arrogance against Hashem. Despite his refusal, Yeshayahu will give him a sign anyway. It is not for him, but for the nation, to give them encouragement and faith which they still deserve. This pasuk may be familiar as it has been misinterpreted over the centuries by Christians as a source text for their faith. Pasuk 14. Hine ha'alma harav yela despain. The alma, the young woman, has conceived and will give birth to a son. V'karas shmo Immanuel. And she will call the son's name Immanuel, which means Hashem is with us. This sign is not because of Achaz, but because Yehuda still deserves it. Yeshayahu tells Achaz that a young woman, who Rashi says is the wife of Yeshayahu, while the Mitzvah David says is the wife of Achaz, does not yet know that she is pregnant. She will in the near future have a son, and she will name the baby Immanuel, which will show that Hashem will not allow Yerushalayim to fall to the evildoers. In addition to his unique name, this child will be a sign of salvation. He will eat rich foods, Pasuk 15, chema v'dvash, butter and honey from birth. If the food is sweet, he will eat it, but if it is not, he will refuse it. He will know intuitively good from evil at a very young age. Da'ato ma'os v'ra uvachor v'tov. He will know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before that can even happen, before this child can express his understanding of good and bad, Aram and Israel will be destroyed and will never return. But because Achaz did not have faith in Hashem and sought outside intervention, Ashur will now have power over Yehuda and access to the land. These will be the most severe problems. Pasuk 17, the Miyom Sur Ephraim Me'al Yehuda. From the day Ephraim departed from Yehuda, from the splitting of the two kingdoms, Ashur will conquer all the cities throughout Yehuda and will only be stopped by a great miracle before he is able to conquer Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu speaks symbolically to describe how this attack will unfold. Ashur will attack Mitzrayim, and on the way back, he will decide to capture Yehuda. Hashem will bring the Egyptians, who are compared, Pasuk 18, Lazvuv asher b'ktzei ye'orei Mitzrayim, to flies that are in the uppermost part of the Nile, together with the dominant ruler, Ashur, who compared Ladvora to bees. Bees and flies swarm and go into every crack and crevice in the land, seeking out flowers. The armies of Ashur, helped by the armies of Egypt, will rest, Pasuk 19, B'nachale habatos uv'nikike hasila'im uv'chol hana'atzutzim uv'chol hana'halolim. And they shall come and rest in the rugged valleys and the holes of the rock, and upon all the thorns and upon all the brambles. The army will swarm and take over the entire land from the valleys to the fortified cities. The army will have an overwhelming force until one day, Pasuk 20, Yigalach Hashem b'sa'ar. Hashem will shave them with a razor. Ashur's campaign was going great. They conquered all the cities of the and valleys of Yehuda and were camping outside of Yerushalayim ready to conquer it. On that final night before the final attack, Hashem sent a plague which struck down all the soldiers of the camp in a clear miracle. On that day, Yeshayahu says, it will be as if the army and king will be shaved of all their hair on their head, their feet, and their beard. This signifies that the invading force will have power until their strength is entirely broken. The razor is the destruction of all strength of the army, which is compared to hair. After prolonged periods of war, the people of Yehuda who have survived will finally be able to live in peace. The few who remain in Yehuda will now be prosperous. They will own their own farm animals and will have an abundance of butter, milk, and honey. They will need to make butter because they will have so much milk that they will need to do something with it before it spoils. The Mefarshim disagree about what will be the state of agriculture at that time. The Malbim questions why the nation is eating butter and honey rather than bread and wine. He looks at Pasuk 23 for an answer. The Pasuk says, V'haya b'yomahu, and it will be on that day, Yechol makom asher yesham elef gefen ve'elef kasef, that where there are every spot where there would stand 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver, l'shamir v'shayis yeh. They will become a wilderness of thornbush and thistle. Says the Malbim, after the war, there were not enough people to cultivate all the land so that the most valuable land will be overgrown. The survivors will eat from animal products, which take less manpower than farmland to produce. The Mesuz David says that this was a choice. During the times of Chizkiyahu, the people returned to Torah study. They no longer wanted to be distracted by wine, so those vineyards, even the most valuable ones, would be neglected. The Radak interprets this pasuk with the opposite meaning. He says that every place that had been neglected and was overgrown with thorns will now be cultivated and worth a lot, 1,000 silver coins. Rebuilding the land will take time, as it will be overgrown with thorns with wild animals. Pasuk 24, Vachitzim uvakeshes yavo shama. With arrows and with bows he will come there. Yehuda will need to fight their way through the land because it will have returned to nature. They will need to fight the animals and the thorns to reclaim it for themselves. Only the hills will not be an issue, as the livestock will graze there and tame the thorns and overgrowth for them. In this parak, Yisrael and Aram unite to attack Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu warns Achaz not to worry, as Hashem will save him. Instead, Achaz makes himself a vassal state to Ashur. This would lead to the widespread exile and destruction of Yehuda until Ashur is miraculously stopped before they could conquer Yerushalayim. The remaining survivors will resettle the land. There is an important lesson in this parak. Life will always be full of challenges and opportunities. In any situation, our perspective is our choice. Whether to have faith, bitachon, is a decision we can make. Yeshayahu begged Achaz to believe in Hashem, but he refused. Achaz refused to accept any sign that would convince him of Hashem's involvement and was unswayed by the birth of a child. Achaz would rather panic and try to control the uncontrollable rather than submit his life's decisions to Hashem's will. We sometimes act similarly on a smaller scale. When there's a challenge, we might feel an uncomfortable urge, an uncontrollable urge, to control a situation that is clearly out of our hands. There is another option when we can't control others, when we need a job, a shidduch, or anything else that we really can't do much about. A problem is not a sign to hustle. It is a sign that we have an opportunity to work on our faith in Hashem, who is the only source of strength and hope that we truly have.
Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.